help us to commence this evening with hymn 380. O Jesus, thou fountain of grace, enlighten, enliven my heart, and show the sweet smiles of thy face, and from me bid evil depart. So pronounce I am thine, a sinner once purchased by blood, and may I forever recline on the bosom of Jesus my Lord. 380.
Thank you. us to read the Epistle of Paul to the Romans, chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people which he foreknew. Wot ye not what the Scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets, and dig down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men, who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then is it no more of works. Otherwise grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then is it no more grace. Otherwise work is no more work. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. And David said, let their table be made a snare and a trap, and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow down their back alway. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall salvation is come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them be the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wouldst say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold therefore the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell severity, but toward thee goodness. If thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, should be grafted in. for God is able to graft them in again. For if they were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, and so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. That is, God never repents of giving a gift, of calling one of his. For as ye in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief, even so of these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him, of all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. May the Lord bless to us his word, grant us each prayer. O Lord, grant a thankful heart for thy mercies that bring us safely together once more, for this privilege afforded us. O Lord, we pray that thou wouldst condescend to bless this means of thy grace to our souls tonight, and then we shall truly be thankful for this service. But oh, we are dependent on thee. Oh, we do ask for thy help. The help we need, Lord, is for thee to do everything for us. Lord, the quickening of the dead. Oh, grant thy help to thy dead elect in quickening. And thy help in conviction of sin. Lord, we come into this place this evening as sinners. But how many of us feel it? Lord, we pray, grant that feeling, oh, to feel, cuts deep beyond expression. Oh, Lord, we have read in the history of thy church, both in thy word and in those records since then, of thy doings among thy people, of the day of thy Spirit's outpouring, and congregations wept because of their sin. Lord, we pray, grant it once more if it could please thee. Lord, what insensible people we are, unless thou dost make us sensible. Oh, we pray for that grace, Lord, that we may mourn for thee and be in bitterness, as one that is in bitterness for his only son, his firstborn. Lord, that we may hate sin in some measure, Lord, as thou dost hate it. Thou dost hate it with a perfect hatred. Lord, we pray, grant us the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what grace was that? Thou, Lord Jesus, who didst hate sin from all eternity, and yet did from all eternity covenant to be made sin for thy people. Oh, far beyond imagination is the love of God to man. Oh, that it now was shed abroad in these hearts of ours. Do grant it. Open thy word up to us. Apply it to us. Reveal thy Son to us. Oh, Lord, we pray. May aching voids be filled tonight. May hearts filled with all the trash and the vanity of life, this world and sin, be emptied by thee and filled by thee. For thou art he whom thy handmaid Hannah rejoiced in, saying, the Lord emptieth and filleth. He killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down into the dust and lifteth up. He raiseth the beggar from the dunghill to set him among princes. Oh, we pray. Oh, do that blessed work in our day, in our cases. Lord, if we are not beggars, do make us so. If we are not empty, do empty us. And do, Lord, hear the beggar's cry, the beggar's groan. And, Lord, fill the empty with those good things. Lord, satisfy thy poor with bread. And fill the hungry with good things. Hear prayer once again for this church and people. Would return thanks for thy mercies to them, individually and collectively. Watch over this church and people. Keep them as the apple of thine eye. Hide them under the shadow of thy wings. Lord, their adversary, the devil, goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Oh, make them and each of us steadfast in the faith, resisting him, in looking to him who destroyed him that had the power of death. Lord, have mercy. Oh, do go on to be gracious. Bless this people with a living ministry. Oh, Lord, save Zion from a dead ministry, the ministry of the letter. Save us from preaching such a ministry. Oh, grant that anointing on every occasion we pray. For only by that anointing of the Spirit can there be a living ministry. Oh, let there be those signs following, which there must be. For thou dost not give the living ministry for no purpose. Thou hast said thy word shall not return to thee void, but it shall accomplish that which thou dost please, and prosper in the thing whereto thou dost send it. Oh, send the word with the power to accomplish thy will, that sin may be conquered, we may be conquered, Christ may be exalted, this great eye may be brought down to nothing, and Christ might be exalted to be all in all, the preeminence.
in our hearts and in our lives. O Lord, do grant that overcoming of sin. Grant that deliverance. Grant that help in each one's pathway. Direct each one, Lord. Thou hast promised to do so. Do set open doors before thy people, an open door. Lord, close every other door but one, and then thy people shall know where they must walk, where they must go, what they must do. Oh Lord, we do pray tonight to see that open door before us. Thou dost speak of in thy word, I've set before thee an open door that no man can shut it. Lord, such a door as a poor, weak, helpless, sick, afflicted sheep may creep through. Be saved. Be in the presence of the Lord himself, the great shepherd. Lord, then who do help us. We pray for our aged friends. It's now evening time with them. It may be so with us younger ones. It may be so with the very youngest here this evening. But it is certainly so with the aged. O Lord, make it light at evening time. O arise upon those that fear thy name. Thou blessed Son of Righteousness, arise. Chase away, Lord, all the fear of death, the guilt of a misspent life, the guilt of a poor profession. Lord, seal thy people forever, whereby they may be sealed unto the day of redemption. Lord, grant help in the afflictions, the infirmities of old age, and younger ones too. Oh, be very gracious to thy afflicted. Be with them, Lord, that by these things their souls may live, and in all these things the life of their spirit be. And if it is thy will, do grant that full recovery. We pray again for thy servants. Lord, restore the afflicted. Lord, do bless each one of thy sent servants. And Lord, we pray for those at the backside of the desert whom thou art preparing for the work. Oh, go on in this preparation, Lord. Bring it to that fruition at thy appointed time, and thrust them forth with thy almighty power, in thy name, and with thy promised help. Lord, have mercy on Zion. Thou hast said, the repentance and forgiveness of sins shall be preached in thy name, Lord Jesus, among all nations, until the end. We ask for the fulfillment of it, so that sinners shall repent, and sinners shall believe, and by faith have that full remission. There shall be a people, Lord, to serve thee, to call thee the Redeemer blessed, when we have gone the way of all the earth. Oh, prepare us for that solemn moment when nature sinks beneath her load amidst the din of Jordan's flood. With this our every fear dispel, one sip of Bethlehem's sacred well. Oh, may we be hidden in that man who is an hiding place from the wind, a cover from the tempest of death and of life, the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. And Lord, what a dry place death is. For thy word says he shall be as rivers of water in a dry place. They did give thee vinegar, Lord. Oh, let thy people dip their morsel in the vinegar. Grant them that water to drink of that cup of salvation, which thou didst procure in drinking that cup of thy Father's wrath. Hear us again for our country, as we would plead mercy for guilty Britain, of which we are a guilty part. Lord, turn us to thee, personally and collectively, if it will please thee. Restrain the wickedness, our own wickedness, and the wickedness of our fellow countrymen, the wickedness of those in authority. We pray for thy overruling of them for the good of the church, the glory of thy name. We pray for the deliverance of this land from the yoke of the European Union. O Lord, we believe that it's beginning, and if it was so, Lord, we know thou'll finish it. Help thy people to pray without ceasing. Finish, dear Lord, what is begun. We ask in Jesus' worthy and precious name, and for his sake. Amen.
Hymn 589. A beggar, vile and base, I come, without a friend, without a home, and knock at mercy's door. A friendless, helpless wretch indeed, nor have I one good work to flee, yet crave a living store. 589.
In dependence upon the Lord, I venture to direct you this evening to the Epistle of Paul to the Romans, chapter 11. Romans chapter 11, verse 26 and 27. And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. One of the things about the gospel that the Lord makes so precious to his people is the certainty. Paul says, doesn't he, our gospel was not yea and nay, but yea and amen in Christ Jesus. What he means is, God does not say, the people shall be saved if, as the text says, and so all Israel shall be saved. For God has eternally willed their salvation. And everything that God has willed, he fulfills. The Saviour, the blessed deliverer in our text, as I believe I mentioned this afternoon, he says, I've trodden the winepress alone. Of the people there was none with me. The Father sent the Son to die. The willing Son obeyed. The witness thou, the blessed Spirit, to ratify the purchase Christ has made. And so all Israel shall be saved. By this, the apostle is clearly referring to the whole Israel of God, but in the context here, he is speaking of that Israel from among the nation of Israel. In another place, he says, doesn't he, they are not all Israel who are Israel. That is, they are not all the Israel of God who are the Israel by nature. Jesus said to the Jews, ye say that ye have Abraham to our father. Trust not in that, he said. For God is able of these stones to make children unto Abraham. And so all Israel, the whole church of God, Jew and Gentile, every single one of them, the Lord knows them, down to the very last one, down to the very least of them, he knows them. He says, Not a hoof shall be left behind, not the least grain of wheat shall fall to the ground. Now this truth, when taught by the Spirit, does not lead to fatalism. It does not lead to a lack of exercise. No, it leads to a right exercise. And that right exercise is to have our part in this made clear to us by God. What have we to plead in making this petition? If there is a sinner here this evening, and your exercise is to know you're among this Israel that shall be saved, you have the certainty of the Lord's word to plead. You have the completeness of his word to plead. You may therefore go to him as he draws you by his word and by his Spirit's influence, and ask him to do the whole of your salvation, trusting wholly in his merit, casting on him all your care. They shall be saved. That means all Israel are lost. And all Israel should be made to feel they are lost. But all Israel shall be sought for by God, sought for by the Good Shepherd. And he'll find everyone. Dear Bernard Gilpin, on his deathbed, he had that vision, didn't he? Of a sheep with his legs tied together and cast on a rubbish heap, a dung heap in the corner of the field. God showed his case set forth by that poor sheep. And the voice of God came to him, bleat on, poor sheep, for the shepherd will find you. That is what the Lord teaches these lost sheep to do. The bleating of a lost sheep. Why? What is it? In what light is it they feel their lost condition? In the light of the truth of God, of his law, of the day of judgment, of the truth of election, the truth of those two manner of people that are in the earth. The lost feel to be outside that blessed number. But the Lord has put in their heart a desire to be inside that number. To be saved from their sin, to be saved from their just desert, to be saved from the guilt that they will never lose unless God take it from them. To have those sins taken away from them. Oh, today if it would please him. But oh, certainly before they die. But oh, what a miserable life is that of a guilty sinner. His prayer is not then. Of course, he does pray above all to be forgiven before he dies. But oh, when you've got guilt on your conscience, you don't want to wait till you die to have forgiveness. For it is death to live while you're under the sentence of death. Bleat on, poor sheep. Lord, save me. You see, this text is the word of the Lord which causes a response in the heart of his people, just as Peter responded when he began to sink as he looked down on the waves and the wind blowing boisterously, Lord, save me, or I perish. And Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, saying unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. This then is how all Israel shall be saved. The only way all Israel can be saved is by this deliverer coming forth out of Zion. To deliver Israel. And as the text in the following verse goes on to say, to deliver them from all their sins. And all the consequences of that. And in the finality of it, all the very being of sin. For Israel in heaven, all the being of sin is completely removed. There they see his face and never, never sin. There from the river of his grace, they drink endless pleasures in. The deliverer then is one who can deliver from sin. That is the point. That is what they need delivering from. That is what I need delivering from, sinner. That is what you need delivering from. And there is only one deliverer. Once again, in this text, there is the singular. Acts chapter 4, there is no other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. For there is no other God-man. There is no other one, therefore, who could for these people fulfill the law. There is no other one who for these people could bear their iniquities. There is no other one who could be made sin for them and could bear that, sustain that tremendous load. None other has sufficient love, sufficient strength. None other is appointed by his Father. This deliverer is appointed by his Father. They shall come forth out of Zion. He comes forth at the word of his Father. Both in his coming forth, in those Old Testament days, he came forth in those types and in those shadows. He came forth in those appearances of himself as a man, in the form of a man. That angel, not that he has an angelic nature in his humanity, he took not only the nature of angels, but as the messenger, the minister of God. Jacob says of him, the angel that redeemed me from all evil. Bless the lads. He comes forth at the command of Almighty God, his Father. He sends him. He sends him. They shall come forth out of Zion, this place from whence he comes forth, out of Zion. Out of Zion. The first thing here is clearly this. Zion as opposed to Sinai. The two mounts, the two significant mounts with regard to the two covenants. Point out to you in verse 27, this is my covenant unto them. And it's the new covenant of his grace, which sounds forth from Mount Zion. The other covenant is the covenant of works, which sounds forth from Mount Sinai. At Sinai, God gave his law and says unto all mankind, do this and thou shalt live. Do it not and thou shalt die. This deliverer cannot come forth from there. No. He cannot be known under the old covenant, the covenant of works. The Lord says, a new covenant will I make with the house of Israel. Not according to the covenant I made with them in the day when I brought them forth out of Egypt. He's there referring to Sinai, which took place after he'd brought them forth out of Egypt. Which covenant they break, although I was an husband to them. The days come, saith the Lord, that I'll make a new covenant. I'll put my law in their hearts, write it on their hearts and in their minds. I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. This is the yea and amen of the gospel. Out of Zion, out of Zion, the mount of his grace, the heavenly Jerusalem, which is set forth by the earthly Jerusalem. It was at earthly Jerusalem that the name Zion was first given to a mount. That place that David set his heart upon. That place that David took for himself and reigned from that mount. Ah, the place that God's dear Son from eternity had set his heart upon. Where he set his heart upon preaching Himself, His grace, His precious blood, eternal life to sinners. But oh, He must win that place for Himself. He won it by coming to the very place, coming to the very foes that oppose such a mount, that oppose such a salvation, that oppose such a deliverance. He came and fought with the powers of darkness. Listen to him when he comes to his sufferings, as he says to those that came to apprehend him in the garden, "But this is your hour and the power of darkness." Oh, what a battle he went into. Oh, my dear friend, this great deliverer. See him in Gethsemane, hear him there. "My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." Hear what the Holy Spirit tells us of the heat that he felt on that cold night, of the agony that can only be in a tiny measure considered in view of what the Spirit tells us. It was such agony that his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling to the ground. And then to the judgment hall, his back scourged, furrows. As the prophecy says, his back with furrows was ploughed. His head is crowned with thorns. His face is punched. He is beaten. He is arrayed in the scarlet robe. He is mocked. Oh, the silence, the submission, the exceeding humiliation. And they led him forth to a place called Calvary, Golgotha, the place of a skull. Oh, an ignominious death. Outside the gate, his hands and his feet nailed to that wood. He himself pierced through with the sword of his Father. He passes through that which only God knows. The hymn writer said, "Sure he feels a thousand hells. Oh, the pangs that take hold of him. My God, why hast thou forsaken?" That is how he won Mount Zion. That is how he secured this place. as is set forth in type by David securing Mount Zion at Jerusalem. It is finished, he said. The law is fulfilled. The curse is drunk to the very dregs. I have finished the work thou gavest me to do. I have fulfilled thy law. The ceremonial law is finished because now everything that that ceremonial law set forth is all accomplished. Sin is finished. Everlasting righteousness is brought in. Divine righteousness wrought by the man Christ Jesus. Imputable to men. Death is finished. The eternal wrath of God for the sins of his people is finished. It is done. This is the place. The victory of Christ. Oh, from that place, Mount Zion, now he can come forth as a deliverer. He can come forth with his own precious blood to deliver. He can come forth with the sentence of a finished work to deliver. He can come forth with a righteousness wrought out, which is imputable to sinners. He can come forth with Satan defeated. He can come forth for everyone and shall come forth for everyone for whom he took that mount. For everyone whose sins he suffered and bled and died, he shall come forth from that mount. Oh, that mount which is founded upon the everlasting love of God. That love that devised, appointed that way whereby those people whom he loved, he could receive justly and righteously. That people whom he loved, he could save with an everlasting salvation. That people whom he loved, who were at enmity to him, would be brought into union with him, in perfect love with him. That way whereby those who were enemies by wicked works might be truly his brethren, his friends. Henceforth I call you not servants, but I've called you friends. For all things that the Father has spoken unto me I've made known unto you. They should come out of Zion. The deliverer, as you come out of Zion, the deliverer. The point is, my dear friend, the Holy Spirit here points the Israelite who needs salvation, who's in feeling need of this deliverance. And who is it that needs the deliverer? Those who are feelingly in a place. They know if they're not delivered out of it, they'll perish in that place. The Lord's lawful captive. And because he's a lawful captive, he's only a lawful filler that can release him from that captivity. That sinner, the hymn writer speaks to him, doesn't he? Poor sinners sunk in sin's tremendous cell. Tormented with the fiery darts of hell. On Jesus call, though wretched be your case. He came the lost to to seek and save by grace. He didn't come the lost to teach them how they could save themselves, to instruct them what they must do to save themselves. No, he came to seek and save the lost. He shall come forth a deliverer out of Zion. The Holy Spirit there directs the one that needs deliverance as to where they should seek it. Not to Sinai's fiery mount, by a way marked out with blood, sinners now draw near to God. Oh, how suitable this to this poor sinner that needs deliverance. For they in this place are feelingly without good works, feelingly without the ability. And therefore, if Mount Sinai were the only place where they could come to, they must perish. What did the Lord do when he commanded, in that time when the law was given at Mount Sinai? He put a fence about it. Oh, the love of God, even when he gave the law. He said to Moses, don't let the people come near. If they come near, if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it should be stoned or thrust through with a dart. That's what the Lord, my dear friend, the sinner that tries to draw near to God, pleading something they have done, hoping they might be able to do something. Oh, there is no way that way. There is no deliverer to be found that way. God cannot, this sinner cannot produce something before Mount Sinai that God will come out of the mount and say to that sinner, because you brought that, I will save you. He cannot, because the sinner cannot bring it. But at Mount Zion, God does not require anything. Let me repeat that. At Mount Zion, God does not require anything. Has his standard dropped? No. At Mount Zion, God has received everything that he requires. He has received it not at the hand of these sinners. He could not receive it from there. He hath received it at the hand of his dear Son. He hath received it as every moment of his life he lived that holy, perfect, sinless. By one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. He received it when the dear Lord Jesus Christ, led of the Spirit into the wilderness, was tempted of the devil 40 days and 40 nights. He received it when he heard his Son say, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God, and so on. He received it in those sufferings I have briefly set before you from his word this evening. It is finished. The Saviour, when he said that, it is finished. Everything my Father required of me for my people's deliverance is finished. There's not one thing my Father asked of me, but I have given him. This is Mount Zion. There shall come forth a deliverer The believer then, led of the Spirit, is found, as Paul says in writing to the Hebrews, you come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, to the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the spirits of just men made perfect. They're all there. And to Jesus. That is why they're all there. That is why the spirits of just men are there. That is why the innumerable company of angels are there, because they desire to look into these things. Although they have no interest in them with regard to salvation, for the angels who look into these things don't need saving. But oh, they wonder at what was done. Oh, this is a greater work than any other work of God. The unfathomable love and grace and mercy of God, that sinners deserving endless hell should win eternal bliss. That sinners who have sinned the score to lengths extreme should have that whole score blotted out. That sinners who in themselves are so ungodly might be made godly. That sinners who hate God might be made to love Him. That sinners who do nothing of themselves but that which is against Him might be brought to serve Him in the beauties of holiness. There shall come out of Zion the Deliverer. You see, what this sets forth is this. It is the person. It is the person. The Deliverer shall appear. Not bodily to His people, but to the eye of their faith He shall appear. There shall come forth a Deliverer. He shall come to them from that place. He shall come to them in His love and in His mercy. He shall come to them in the fulfillment of His covenant. He shall come to them because it is His will to come to them. He shall come to them, yes, because He has put in their heart to pray that He would come to them. You see, what this sets forth is this. All Israel is going to be delivered by the coming of the Deliverer to them. The Lord Jesus Christ coming into their lives, coming into their heart, coming into their very case. And when He comes with deliverance, because He is the Deliverer. When He shows them Himself, that is the deliverance. Oh, my dear friend, isn't that how you, child of God, proved it? You couldn't quantify what it was you needed deliverance from. It was so great a matter. Your case was so impossible. Your sins beyond recounting, and all of them against an holy, infinite God. Immeasurable matter then. Oh, there was the guilt of all your offences past. Oh, there was your sinful inability now. Oh, there was your unbelief now. There was your hardness of heart now. There was the temptations of the devil having such power over you. But the Lord sanctified all these things. And from Zion there sounded out these tidings that the Deliverer shall come. And your eyes were caused to look. Isaiah 45, look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth. But the point I was going to make was this. When the deliverer appeared, you were delivered. Because everything that your soul lacked, and which therefore held it in this captivity and in this distressing, wretched place, in this person there was the answer to every single thing. You think of that word, that name that the Apostle John gives the Lord Jesus Christ, the Advocate. This deliverer is the Advocate. He does not come forth and plead that these people for whom he is advocate are not guilty. No, they are. What does he do? Which completely answers the truth that they are guilty. He comes and declares, I have borne their iniquity. I have suffered for their sins. I have shed my precious blood for them. I have died that they might live. The deliverer delivers from guilt. He delivers from the curse. He delivers from the bondage. Oh, the bondage of sin. John 8, the Lord Jesus said, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth. Reminds me of this afternoon's text. He has compassion on the ignorant. It wouldn't be compassion on the ignorant, would it, if he didn't make them know the truth? That's his compassion on the ignorant. And ye shall know the truth. The Lord Jesus ministers the truth unto them, and the truth makes them free. The truth makes them free. If the Son shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. The deliverer. And shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. And shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. What is the significance of this use of Israel's former name? There must be a significance, mustn't there? For he does not say, and he shall turn away the ungodliness of Israel. He says he shall turn away the ungodliness of Jacob. And how does he do it? He does it in the way he did it at the brook Jabbok for Jacob. That ungodly Jacob, supplanter, deceiver, true, he was a child of God at that time. But there was much ungodliness about him. But the Lord came out of Zion. He didn't come because of what Jacob had done. He came in love to Jacob. Just as he had done at Bethel that first time he came and visited him. Now he comes to Jacob and turns away ungodliness. And how does he do it? He does it by wrestling with him and causing Jacob to wrestle with him to the obtaining of the blessing and the giving to Jacob of the new name, Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men. My dear friend, the Lord teach you and me, we each need it. Those of us that hope and trust, we have truly known something of this in the past, in our experience, how we need to know it more in our experience. Ungodliness clings to us, doesn't it? You see, when Jacob was given a new name, Israel, we don't find the Holy Spirit never calling him Jacob again, do we? You think of that occasion when Joseph had sent those wagons from Egypt. When Jacob's sons came to him and told him that Jacob was alive, he was governor in Egypt, Jacob fainted. But when he saw the wagons, the spirit of Jacob revived, and Israel said, it's the old man and the new, you see. And Israel said, it is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. Turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Turn it away. Giving Jacob this new name, a prince, power with God and with men. Ungodliness turned away by the gospel, by the deliverer. Oh, how we need it. Ungodliness is such a powerful thing, isn't it? I see in this expression, turn away. Firstly, these people that are in need of this deliverance, they in their besieged soul, if I may put it like that, feel day after day that ungodliness is constantly warring against them. Paul speaks of it, doesn't he, in Romans 7. To will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. I find another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin. O wretched man that I am! Now this deliverer is said to come to Zion, out of Zion, and turn away the ungodliness. He the defense from that ungodliness. Fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And what does the psalmist pray? Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. That is thine anointed son. And to turn away ungodliness from Jacob. By his love made known, his grace made known, his blood applied, his powerful word. My mind goes to Joshua the high priest, and he stood before the Lord. And Satan was at his right hand to resist him. There's the source of all the ungodliness, but Satan has ruined us. So we're a source of the ungodliness through the Adam fall and through the power of the devil upon us. And the Lord said, isn't this a brand plucked from the burning? The Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. The Lord that has chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked from the burning? God, by his declared choice of this man, turns away ungodliness from him. All the charge of ungodliness is turned away from him, because he is godly in Christ Jesus. He's godly in Christ. The Lord that has chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Isn't this a brand plucked out of the burning? The Saviour plucking him out of the burning, entering into that burning in the fullness himself. Should turn away ungodliness from Jacob. But you see, that wasn't the end of that deliverance of Joshua, was it? Take his polluted garments off. Clothe him with change of raiment. Turn away ungodliness. As I said to my people yesterday, when God imputes to a sinner the righteousness of Jesus Christ, that isn't the only garment they wear. They have also put on them at the same time, in a blessed way, the garment of salvation, a humble clothing, sanctification, their sinfulness conquered by Jesus Christ, their ungodliness conquered by him. Their unbelief is conquered by him and faith is given. Their hardness of heart is conquered, brokenness is given. Their idolatry is conquered as he himself erects his throne in their heart. Their love of sin is conquered by the love of God. Their bad spirit is conquered by the Spirit of the Lord given them. Their pride is conquered by the humility of Christ. Indeed, everything about them which is bad is overcome by the goodness of Christ. And all this is freely bestowed, coming out of Zion. My dear friend, everything that comes out of Zion is free. It's free. It is a gift and it is imparted. This is my covenant unto them. My new covenant, as I said earlier. Oh, think of dear David on his deathbed. With regard to himself and his house, he hadn't done yet with ungodliness, had he? Although my house be not so with God, yet as he made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. How can it be? This is the exercise of this sinner. When they first hear of this and need to be convinced of it, how can it be? The spouse said, didn't she look not upon me because I'm black? But her beloved said to her, thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee. How can it be? How can it be? Accepted in Christ. That work he did. That death he died. That price he paid. Accepted in the beloved. This is my covenant unto them. A covenant, an unbreakable one. You see, in this covenant, it is not like that first covenant, the covenant of works. In this covenant, there was nothing but the Lord's I will. Nothing. You read that covenant. True, it says they shall. But the they shalls of the new covenant follow the I wills. This is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. This is the deliverance. He shall take away. Now, didn't the Lord teach his people of old to pray for this? The prophecy of Hosea, O Israel, turn unto the Lord, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. And we have. Take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity. Oh, what a blessing should follow. Indeed, what a blessing that would be in itself. But what a greater blessing would follow if we were brought to the Lord like that. Take away my iniquity, Lord. This iniquity that clings to me like mud to a garment, like the stain of blood on a white sheet. Lord, if I wash my hands with snow water, yet shall thou plunge me in the ditch, so that my own clothes abhor me. But Lord, if thou wash me, I shall be whiter than snow. When I should take away their sins. That word take away is so significant, isn't it? The sins could only be taken away. God could not, by a word from heaven, speak the sins of his people away. That's impossible. Even with God, that is impossible. There are some things which are impossible with God. And it was impossible for him to speak the sins away like he spoke creation into being. They must be taken away. God himself being made man so that the sins of men could be imputed to him. And he, the glorious eternal person in our nature, in taking those sins upon himself, taking them to Gethsemane, to Gabbatha, to Golgotha, that's how they were taken away. And a sight of that will be how our sins are taken away. To see them removed as the Saviour dies on the cross at Calvary. When I should take away. But then the Spirit, for that view that I've just spoken of, can only be given by the Spirit. It isn't just the Saviour then. Of course, it was he in the fullness. He alone could bear those sins. And so he alone could take them away. But it isn't just the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Ghost in showing him. Oh, that's what we need, my dear friend. Who brings forth the deliverer out of Zion? That is, who causes the deliverer to appear through the pages of the scripture in the truth of the gospel is the Holy Ghost. Assure my conscience of her part in the Redeemer's blood. The Holy Ghost will bring forth this deliverer. He will lift him high on the pole of the everlasting gospel, and he will bid sinners look, and they shall look, and when they look, they live. Now, in conclusion, in this text, there is the promise of deliverance in every single way the Lord's people need it. The principal thing which I've spoken of is, I trust in faithfulness to the scripture, the taking away of sin. But all those things in our lives which are upon us because we are sinners, the afflictions, we should come forth a deliverer. A sinner is healed or is upheld through their affliction by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul's deliverance from the thorn wasn't the removal of it. It was the giving of the grace to bear it. But he was delivered, wasn't he? You don't find Paul asking again for that thorn in the flesh to be removed. He was delivered. There should come forth out of Zion a deliverer. She shall be saved in childbearing if they continue steadfast in the faith, the deliverance. I thought of Paul's words. I think it's the first chapter of the second epistle to the Corinthians. He speaks of that great trouble that came on him. He despaired even of life. We had the sentence of death in ourselves. We should not trust in ourselves, but in God, who raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death. Oh, the Lord remind us of what he has delivered us from. So great a death. And doth deliver. In whom we trust he will yet deliver. And what did Paul above all else have in his heart when he spoke of, in whom we trust he will yet deliver? Surely it was to be delivered from this world. To be fully delivered from sin. To be delivered into heaven. Oh, my dear friend, the enormity of this matter. But look at who the deliverer is. How shall a sinner enter heaven? How shall they get this deliverance? Christ, the first fruits, he has entered in. His body raised from the dead. Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ, at his appearing. With everyone for whom he died, he will appear in the end and take them to be with him in glory. Be no ungodliness then. He'll raise their body and it won't be an ungodly body. There won't be an atom of ungodliness in it. It will be as pure as his humanity. It should be like him. Amen.
Let's close with hymn 1053. Love divine, all love excelling, joy of heaven to earth come down, fix in us thy humble dwelling, all thy faithful mercies crown. Jesus, thou art all compassion, pure unbounded love thou art, visit us with thy salvation, comfort every sinking heart. 1053. Thank you.
Dear Lord, we thank thee for thy word and pray thy blessing on it. It may remain with us. Oh, favour thy people to take home some gleanings and beat them out before thee and feed upon them. Forgive all amiss. Let none of us feed on anything amiss, but do blot it out, take it away. Grant safe journeys to each. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us. Amen.